You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. A few weeks ago, we got a tip from a listener, Skeeter Johnson, saying you've got to check out what's going on in Columbia Falls, Montana. Yes, we read all your comments. So we followed up. And it led us to a story that fascinated us. One of mysterious hackers, violent threats, dogged reporters, and rural Montana school kids caught in the middle of it all. Reporter Dylan Tabish works for the Flathead Beacon, a local newspaper, and he was covering the school hacking. But before long, he too became part of the story.
Yeah, so it was kind of just an everyday Wednesday here in the Flathead Valley, and some school officials in Columbia Falls.
My name is Steve Bradshaw. I'm the superintendent of schools in Columbia Falls, Montana.
Received these real ominous, mysterious messages.
So I got a very threatening message.
Electronic messages via email and text message to their personal phones. They threatened students.
Things that they were going to splatter the blood of our children all over the hallways and things like that.
And within a few hours, the threats then began spreading to other schools across our valley.
It had me bothered enough that I actually had my shotgun in the bedroom, and I've never done that before. And
so the next morning, which was a Thursday, more than 30 schools across Flathead County were canceled, affecting, you know, more than 17,500 students.
Top story this afternoon, dozens of schools across northwest Montana canceled today.
30 schools and the community college, among others.
The FBI canceled. And local law enforcement believe they do have a credible threat. That's why they made the decision.
Yeah, our listener, Skeeter Johnson, said, like, the whole area just was brought to its knees. But what did that feel like?
Well, it was definitely a scary situation. People were pretty freaked out and worried, especially after school was canceled again on Friday and no activities were allowed to go over the weekend.
One of the many school closures is here at Whitefish High School, which was supposed to have their homecoming celebrations today.
And they didn't even allow any of our sports teams to travel to other sites. And as reporter, I was investigating and reporting on this too, and we actually got contacted by the suspects, and we did begin an electronic message interview with the suspects.
If you know anything about military weapons, it should scare your region.
And kind of, unfortunately, got to see the kind of gruesome stuff that they were saying.
The quaint, small, backwards region of the U.S. like yours is prime hunting grounds. This incident is the last thing you will expect to happen here.
We weren't able to get any insight into their motives or, you know, background, or even if they were local. That was what our main goal was as journalists were.
Like, to figure out where this person was?
Exactly, yeah. Trying to figure out who it was. Was it a group? Why were they targeting, you know, this kind of relatively random corner of northwest Montana? School was canceled yet again on Monday as this investigation continued. And there was no details coming out. What is the threat? What is being said? What is going on? And we felt our role as journalists was to shed as much light on that as we could while being responsible and also not just giving a platform to these, what we came to find out were hackers trying to scare everybody into submission.
The suspect hacked into the Columbia Falls School District network and gained access to phone numbers of students, staff, and parents.
And law enforcement published a ransom letter that they had sent to some folks in Columbia Falls seeking payment in Bitcoin.
What the heck is a Bitcoin? I'd seen, you know, a couple articles on Bitcoin.
Again, that's Superintendent Steve Bradshaw.
They said they wanted 150,000 Bitcoins, and they gave us three options. I mean, it was truly amazing how they tried to act like a business.
What was it like communicating with this person or people who is essentially holding your community hostage?
It was very uncomfortable. It was, to be honest, I'd never been involved in anything like this before, and, you know, it was some really ugly stuff.
Do you have any idea why they would target school districts and ask for Bitcoin and ransom? It almost seems too strange to be real.
Once we found out it was this overseas hacking organization, we were all kind of like, well, how did they find us?
That was reporter Dylan Tabish from the Flathead Beacon, and the featured news clips came from KCFW and KRTV News. Now, the why is on the minds of school district administrators everywhere, because schools in Texas, Iowa, and Alabama also say they were hacked by the group behind the Montana incident. In the Montana case, the school district didn't pay the ransom, but they're upping their cybersecurity. The kids are now back at school. The investigation's continuing. This all raises the question, why target a school? To answer that, we have Michael Kaiser, who heads up the National Cybersecurity Alliance. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Why are school districts particularly vulnerable to cyber attacks?
There's a couple of things that make schools attractive for cyber criminals or other hackers. One is they just sit on a wealth of information, right? If you think of what a school has about the students, the parents, the teachers, it's an incredible amount of data, which is incredibly valuable to cyber criminals, especially those who want to, steal that data and monetize it, right? Use it for things like identity theft, perhaps some other things. But more importantly, they could be connected to other networks, right? They could be connected to the town's municipal network. They could be connected to a statewide network. So a school could be an entry point for a hacker into other networks, which are better protected, but maybe they can sneak in through a school.
Oh, so if you, hack this school district in Montana, maybe, I'm not saying this is the case in this instance, but you could get into the Montana state government network through that school door.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point of these networks is that they're interconnected.
When we think about schools, a lot of them are strapped for cash, depends on the district you're in. Is protecting a school district, from a cybersecurity standpoint, is it expensive?
Well, it doesn't have to be super expensive, but you've got to build your cybersecurity around the risks that you face. But there's a lot of things that we call, basic cyber hygiene, for example, that they could be doing, whether it's, making sure that their software is patched, making sure that they ensure that there are good practices among their users around things like passwords or using stronger authentication, which is something, more than a password to access the network. But ultimately, if schools are investing in technology, which I think a lot of them are for good, right? For good, the technology really helps them, whether it's in the classroom or manage the environment, they have to take on the cost of maintaining that over time.
Maybe I'm being naive, but I probably would have assumed that schools were a relatively low risk entity, and thought about banks or companies as something that needed stronger defense. Am I wrong?
Schools are high-risk targets because of the information they have and because of this connectivity they have to other networks, but also because they may be vulnerable. They may be where they're not spending as much time or much investment in cybersecurity as the larger, more defended networks are. And I think, there's also a mistake that sometimes schools may make, which is they think, oh, well, why would I be a target, right? Why would my school district be a target, right? And, I think they have to understand that they're not always being targeted directly. So, George Washington Middle School in any town USA may not be the target of the cyber hackers. But as these hackers are out there probing networks and looking for vulnerabilities, they may find that school is running an outdated version of software, right, that they can get into because they know this vulnerability and how to access through it. And then all of a sudden, oh, we're in George Washington Elementary School. Now what can we do, right? Mm. What can we steal? Where can we go? So sometimes people think, oh, I'm not going to be targeted, but they need to understand they're not always targeted. Sometimes they're just being swept up.
Okay, so let's say you're a freaked out parent listening to this conversation or a school administrator. What do you do?
Well, we always say start with the basics, right? Make sure that you're teaching your faculty, teaching your students how to do the best practices. And, tackling them, head on. I mean, I can give you an example of not going to name names, but a school where they were teaching sixth graders, to access the new system they were using in middle school. And they said, well, make a long password. But if you didn't make a long password, don't know how to do that, or it's too complicated to remember, use your home address, right?
Oh,
so,
boy.
Moving away from those simple things, to these kind of core cybersecurity practices are really important. We have to look at schools as repositories of incredibly important information about people. But when they collect it, they take on a responsibility to protect it.
Michael Kaiser, head of the National Cybersecurity Alliance, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me in.
Have you been the victim of a cyber attack? Let us know. We're online at marketplace.org, and you can email us, weekend@marketplace.org.